Hey everybody, as you can hear, my voice is still shot. I ended up getting laryngitis as a result of the cold that I had last week, and you can hear my voice really go at the end of that last episode, and as a result, I wasn't able to talk through Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This is actually the best my voice has been, so I am not going to be able to do an episode this week. I just don't want to strain my vocal cords any more than I have to, which is a bummer because I'm really itching to get back to work. So in the meantime, I want to repost some of the episodes of The Cost. I'm working on some new episodes of this series where we sit down and talk to people about how government policy affects their real life. I'm going to have some new stories as well as update some of these old stories. So I wanted to refamiliarize, especially the new audience, with this. So please listen to The Cost. I should be better and back to work next week, and I appreciate your patience, because trust me, nobody's going crazier than I am. So, all right, guys, I will talk to you soon.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Government policy has a cost. Every law and regulation passed by the government has a human toll. The Cost, a series of We Are Libertarians, is a one-on-one interview that tells a story of an average person dealing with the outcome of policy. I'm Chris Spangle. In this first episode, we talked to Megan of the Smoke Station. This was an interview that was done in 2012 between Chris Galt and I. Megan worked for a roll-your-own tobacco store. They were put out of business because of regulations implemented by state legislators and federal lawmakers. They tried to ban roll-your-own cigarettes. The Smoke Station had to convert their business, as you'll hear, and eventually transitioned into a vape shop. Just as they were beginning to get their feet on the ground as a vape shop, they ended up going out of business because state and federal regulators changed the rules. Now in 2014, in December, the Smoke Station was raided by state excise police and had all of their vape and tobacco supplies confiscated. This eventually put the Smoke Station out of business permanently. This was recorded at the beginning of their journey. Please take a listen and recognize that for every job lost, that is a family that is impacted and a community that is impacted by the loss of income, with the simple stroke of a pen by politicians who are beholden to big tobacco. Here now is Megan's story.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. This week, we have some special stuff for you. We're going to talk to you guys about some new regulations passed down from the White House. These regulations may force roll-your-own cigarette stores out of business. President Obama signed a new transportation bill last Friday that included a provision that may force many of these stores out of business all around the country. In the usual not too transparent manner of Congress and the way they make laws, they just amended the transportation bill to include that roll-your-own cigarette stores are now manufacturers, which levies them to way more regulations than they can afford.
And it should be noted that when you buy a roll-your-own cigarette and you buy a carton of them, you're taxed at a lower rate.
Right.
So, and we actually have a special guest this week help walk us through some of this. Someone who's going to be directly affected by this ban. So you want to
introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, hi. My name is Megan Stewart, and I am still currently the manager of a smoke station in Indianapolis.
Where are you located at?
We have four stores. My main store is on 84th and Michigan Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about the stores. What are the nature of the stores, and are you basically only roll your own cigarettes, or how does your store work?
The majority of our profits come from people using our machines.
Mm-hmm.
$25.50 is a box, which also there's regulations from the government that you're not allowed to call our cigarettes. You're supposed to call them smokes. You're supposed to call the carton of cigarettes a box.
Oh, man.
A box of smokes.
Yeah. So,
a box of smokes.
Yeah. And if you don't and you get caught by excise police,
okay,
you get fined.
Why do they make a distinction between cigarettes and smokes? And what is the point of that, do you think?
The point of that is, I mean, that mainly helped us to try and stray away from being called a manufacturer. Because, mm-hmm, I mean, Big Tobacco is like trying, I mean, they want to get rid of us, obviously, and they did a pretty good job so far. But when we were still open, you know, we were using this verbiage as, you know, a way to show, like, we're going to abide by, you know, the rules of trying to be open.
Right.
And still sell cigarettes or smokes.
I don't smoke, and I don't think you do either, do you?
I don't.
So
I don't smoke either.
Okay, well, that's ironic. I wouldn't have bet on that. So, you know, what is the difference between the two cigarettes, or the cigarette and the smoke?
Well, yeah, if you want to put it by the Big Tobacco and the Small Tobaccos versus each other,
mm-hmm,
Big Tobacco, the majority of each cigarette, each one, is 70% chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
30% of it is tobacco. And that's not even including the chemical of the flame retardant chemical they put on each manufactured cigarette. The fire safety papers is what they call them. And
I like that they put fire retardant on cigarettes.
Yes, yes.
Federal government for you.
Yeah.
They don't want stuff to light on fire when you flick it out the
window.
Yeah,
exactly, right. Mm-hmm.
Or if you leave it sitting, you know, in an ashtray or something.
Right, okay.
Well, and then you have our cigarettes that do not contain nearly as much chemicals as the others. I mean, we're just 100% tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
There's no additives or fillers. I mean, besides the fact that you're just getting nicotine from tobacco,
mm-hmm,
that's it. They're not considered organic. They are considered natural because organic would be the use of pesticides.
Right. So they take the tobacco plant, they hang it up, they dry it, and then I assume it gets chopped up into, you know, maybe processed a little bit, and then you buy that from a distributor?
Correct.
Okay. And so when I walk into the store, what's the experience? Is it like, you know, when we were kids and we'd go on field trips and you'd get your cup and you'd get a suicide? Could you go and fill it like with different types of tobacco? Or
You really could. I mean,
okay. Suicide cigarettes.
Yeah. Well.
Well, that's
I don't want to say that.
Oxymoronic.
Yeah, it is. No, so, I mean, as a first-time customer, when you walk in, I'm going to greet you and say, ask if you'd been here, and if not, you know, explain everything I basically just said to you guys. Mm-hmm. And then going further, you know, what do you prefer to smoke? What, if cost is not a factor, because it's not at our store,
mm-hmm,
you know, what type of tobacco do you like? Do you like a full flavor, light, ultralight, menthol? And the fact is, you can blend. We were blending tons of different tobacco together.
Right.
And 8 ounces of tobacco makes a carton of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people could do 1 ounce of this, 1 ounce of that, 3 of this, 3 of that, and so on.
And so you put it all together in this machine, and then it rolls. The machine probably, I would assume, I've never seen one, but it feeds down into the rolling paper, and then your automatic rolling machine rolls a perfect cigarette.
Yes.
With or without a filter?
With.
With a filter. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it becomes it. The smoke ends up looking exactly like a cigarette, right?
Exactly. Like
okay.
One.
All right.
Imagine like a really big ATM machine that's, you know, a little wider than normal, but it has a like a wood grain finish. I mean, yeah, you have this top section where you pour the tobacco in. You have a section where you put the empty filters and tubes in.
Mm-hmm.
You press 3 buttons. 8 minutes later, you have 200 cigarettes.
You can
control the density of each one, too. So.
So these are big machines. These are not something that you could necessarily buy for your house.
Yeah, and that's really funny you brought that up, because they're saying now, legally, it's okay to have these in your home, but these are $32,000 machines, and no one would... I mean,
right. You'd have to be.
If Donald Trump wanted to smoke these,
really have
these,
to like cigarettes.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a few people who really like cigarettes, but they're probably not dropping 32,000 on one of these machines. Is there a home version that you can, is there a take home version that you can buy out there?
Sure. Yeah. The ones we're selling now, since we're shut down from the machines, we're selling the hand rollers. nowhere near as fast or consistent.
Yeah. Right.
And
so
takes
what,
longer.
So what was their – so, again, they added this onto a highway transportation bill. I can't even imagine – I guess it was Max Baucus of Montana was the driving force behind this. These rolling machines are banned or not in use. I don't know if they're banned or there just aren't any in Montana. And he was the driving force behind this. And Baucus is a Republican or a Democrat? Senator Baucus. I think he's a Democrat.
I was thinking it was a Democrat I read somewhere.
Yeah, he's a Democrat because he was the health care bill guy too.
Oh, okay.
So he's a real gem of a senator. and so he was the driving force behind this, and he has had a tremendous amount of financial support from Altria and other
yes.
cigarette companies. And
I call him Big Cig.
Big Cig.
Big Pharma and Big Cig.
So, I mean, is this – what? Let's speculate a little bit. Why do you think that this was pushed through, and what do you think the cause of this is? Is this something that they've been pushing for a long time, and they've just finally succeeded, or what?
Yes. Okay. There's – it was – we found out in November of last year that this provision was slid into the highway bill. And we got prepared. We got, you know, we had to get a lobbyist. We have lawyers. I mean, and we had information to show our customers to, you know, make them knowledgeable about what's going on so they can help too, as well as a petition to sign saying, you know, we are not manufacturers. We are retailers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that we tried really hard. We had thousands and thousands of signatures on our petition. And
yeah, I saw the petition on your guys' Facebook page.
You know, there's multiple. I mean, we had a hard copy one that before the Facebook page one, and then I created the one on moveon.org, mm-hmm. and now there's a new one that's, you know, going to be – it's nationwide, and there's over 3,000 signatures.
So when you say you guys hired lawyers, was it the
– Oh, we've
the
had
parent
lawyers.
Company of the four stores, or is it –
The parent
know,
company, yes.
Or is it a – you know, or is the smoke shop a nationwide chain of some sort, or
– We
– Who – when you say they, who are they exactly?
Sorry. They being our affiliate parents in Florida – they were the ones who started out first, basically, in the country. Very big down there.
Yep.
Really big loss.
Florida's where I got all my information from about it.
Yes, and they're...
Since we have a guest, I'll reserve comment. I had a really bad, bad joke, but I'll... Go ahead.
That's okay. I can save it. I like bad jokes.
Me a lot. I mean a lot. Anytime we're recording.
That's okay. But yeah, so the way that I got involved with this... I might as well just start from there. My brother-in-law, his best friend is the one who opened all these stores in Florida. He's got probably 12 stores down there. So we got into it up here, and we grew so quickly. And now, I mean, we had six. We're no longer affiliated with two for investor reasons. It doesn't really matter. But, I mean, we've gone to Chicago. My sister is also involved. She moved to Atlanta, Georgia, to open up stores.
So this is really kind of a family business for you guys.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. How many roll your own stores are there around the nation?
Oh, there's over 1,500 is what we've calculated.
Wow. Okay.
And that's 10,000 people who are employed by a roll your own store.
Okay, so we're not talking about a major business. We're talking about mom and pop stores. We're talking about small business owners like yourself that, mm-hmm. you know, so what does this do to your business?
Oh, I mean, we used to be open 7 days a week, you know, 10 to 12 hours per each store a day. We cut down. Now we're closed 2 days out of the week. Shortened hours are from 10 to 5 now instead of 9 to 7 or 9 to 9
mm-hmm.
every day. It's basically...
And that's just this week that you're starting that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That started Monday.
Man.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they lay anybody off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Total out of our Indianapolis stores, three-fourths of our employees are gone.
You laid off three-fourths of... Wow.
Uh-huh. Now we just basically have a manager per each store. One person there. When it used to be two to three. Yeah, and for longer periods.
Because of this one regulation where a big business basically bought a senator and then got this regulation passed, how many employees did you go – when you say three-fourths, how many people are out of work this week just because of that one regulation?
This week, just in the greater Indianapolis area, out of the four stores – and there are imitators like us.
Sure.
So that – I don't know how many they would have, but I assume for us, it was around 40.
So you laid off 40 people this week because of this regulation?
Just about.
Just
40.
In Indianapolis.
Just in Indianapolis, and there's 10,000 people. So you take 3/4 of 10,000 people.
Do you know math?
That's like 1,400 people.
No, just kidding.
No, it's probably about 7,500 jobs. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about a massive layoff because of this.
What do you think this regulation has to do with highways and transportation?
Nothing but the cigarette butts on the highway.
Right, which is actually a personal vendetta of mine. I really
can't stand that. I cannot.
Just, it makes me so mad.
That's littering.
If you are currently driving and smoking while you're listening to this, please do not flick a cigarette.
Put it in the ashtray or just save it to throw away later.
As you know, we have several dozen listeners on this program. So where do you go from here? I mean, do you start having to branch out into other do you guys sell
different business model?
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, and I'm not going to ask you to give away your trade secrets, but I mean, do you guys sell different kinds of cigarettes? Do you specialize in specialty brands, or how do you, you know, where do you go from here, I think?
Well, from here we've been trying to do a social club. Is really mm-hmm. the only thing right now that's looking hopeful, besides this petition getting seen by the president by the end of this month. So that really totally turns our whole business model around, where I mean, now we're a non-for-profit social club that we now have to have a recreation of some sort at our store, as well as the pleasure and recreation are criteria to have a social club.
So you have to go from a business where you sell volume to an event planning company almost.
Almost. Something has to be in the store as well as for the machines to be used as well. Like, I don't even...
Okay, so you can use the machines. You just have to do it in a certain way?
Yeah.
There's a loophole?
From one loophole to another, it's... Yeah, now, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy to where we almost have to, like... have bingo set up or something.
And you can feel free to say this because the president doesn't listen. So I've got confirmation on that. But
he doesn't listen to our podcast yet?
No. I don't think Max Baucus does either. He may not know what a podcast
is. Making an auto download on his PC.
Well, he's got an iPhone. But all right, so that's interesting.
BlackBerry.
There is always... yeah, not for long. There is always a loophole in all of these laws. So they always have these, you know, intentions of doing it this way. But then there's always some loophole that this is why the free market is always better than the government intervention. And welcome to being a libertarian, by the way, because these kind of time of events, you may have been a Republican or a Democrat, but I guarantee you're a libertarian for the rest of your life.
Yeah, after this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's usually, people say, how do you grow the Libertarian Party? I say, just let the government keep on doing what it's doing.
What it's doing, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, that is the interesting thing, is that people will always find a way to innovate. They will always find a way mm-hmm. around the rules. They will, and I'm not saying you're doing anything nefarious. You're doing what you need to do to survive,
yes.
to employ people again, to put people back to work. And it's the government that's hindering that. And it's these stupid types of just asinine policies that mm-hmm. that happen at every level of government that put people out of work. And you want to know why? You want to know how libertarians will create jobs? We won't create jobs. We'll stop doing stuff like this, and we'll stop putting 40 people out of work. You know, we'll stop putting 7,500 people out of work by passing needless regulations.
We'll let the jobs create themselves.
Because let me ask you this. How many people did you force into your store to buy your deathly cigarettes?
Zero. I mean,
so
you have the choice to come in
so
or not.
So you didn't go out and with a gun force anyone into your store to buy your smokes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
well,
if anything, this
is outrageous. I thought that's what the purpose was. You were forcing people to smoke. What are your thoughts on the smoking ban? That's just been passed in Indiana and in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on that as a small business owner in the tobacco industry?
Well, the smoking ban, I mean, when we opened 2 years ago, we decided then and there, you know, we don't really want people to be smoking in our store. We kind of wanted this concept of a really fast, efficient in and out kind of thing.
Sure.
Honestly, I'm not a smoker.
You don't want to be around it. Yeah.
Enjoy, you know, I enjoy going, you know, to have a drink somewhere and it's not a thick cloud of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care either way. If they want to smoke, they can smoke. The fact now that, you know, smoking is banned from bars and, well, not all of them, but bars and restaurants, I just really don't care.
There are about 4,000, last estimate, there are about 4,000 to 5,000 bar employees in Indianapolis, and they think that the local ban here in Indianapolis alone is probably going to lay off about 1,000 people.
Really?
Because, again, it's a regulation that the government creates, maybe with good intentions, but at the end of the day, it causes lost jobs. And it's because people, you know, the problem with cities, especially Indianapolis, their mayors, the city councilors, Republicans, Democrats, the city leaders, they all think about the city core. They all think about, you know, from IUPUI over to Lockerbie to South Street up to 16th Street. That's where they think. So they don't think about, you know, 10th and Tibbs. They don't think about right. Mars Hill. They don't think about the neighborhoods around the city core. And the people at the little bars like Good Times down in Greenwood, you know, near Greenwood, but in Indianapolis, those places, you know, I'm not saying Good Times is going out of business. I'm saying that a bar like that, a neighborhood bar that's in a strip mall where people from the neighborhood just go get together, they smoke, they drink after they get off work. Those are the kind of places that just lose business and go out of business and close. And people who have put up risk on these businesses, you've put up risk. And now the government has said, well, we don't care if you took the risk or not. You know, that's becoming the problem. The government is the bigger risk than failure mm-hmm. at this point. So why innovate if you can't even compete if they can just shut you down?
Exactly.
You know, and so that's my view on the smoking ban is that, yeah, you know, I'm not a smoker. I don't like to be around smoke. But here in the city core, even if I like to smoke, I could go to Andrews O'Reilly's. If I don't like to smoke, I can go right next door to Champs or mm-hmm. across the street to Scotty's. And it's up to the business owner to decide. If I don't like being around smoking, I've got two choices
options.
To that one option. And now I have no options.
Mm-hmm.
And especially not in the neighborhood areas. And, you know, that to me is the fundamentally stupid thing about all this. It's just fundamentally stupid, you know. And they say, oh, well, we need to do it to look like a world-class city. Well, job loss doesn't make you look like a world-class city, you know. And what they're saying is that your employees are not as valuable as a tech firm's. Well, you pay employees. Your employees go out and they pay for goods at Walmart, at, you know, car stores, at movie theaters. You know, and that's just the wrongheadedness of central planning.
If a regulation had caused Google or Apple to cut that many jobs, it'd be front page news right now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
If there was a tech firm that had to cut $7,500 jobs,
Yeah, we know what you mean.
$7,500 jobs across the United States. You're right. GE would be screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, but the problem is GE, you know, he gets to sit in the Oval Office, and you don't. So, you know,
try to type in RYO highway bill in Google. How many? I mean, I've maybe since this happened, a little over a week ago, when we got the notification that it was going to be put through.
Mm-hmm.
Type in, try and find an article or something about it.
Not much.
I found maybe three, four.
Yeah. When I first heard about it last week. Mm-hmm. It was just on a few blogs.
Yeah.
Nothing major at all.
The Las Vegas newspaper reported on it, but other than that, nothing really. You know, and that's the problem is that we focus on, you know, globalization and jobs moving overseas. Well, here is something that the federal government can do with just the stroke of a pen that puts people out of work that they could fix right now. And so
some ways that people can help? Listeners can help.
I mean, silver lining that we can help you guys? And what way can we help your business here locally and across the nation if we have nationwide listeners? How can we help you guys?
The one thing we're counting on that would help us not have to change our business model completely is that petition. Now, I just tried to pull it up and my internet went down. But it's on our Facebook page.
Okay. What's the name of your Facebook page? How can we search for it?
It's just Smoke Station, two words.
Okay.
And this is on the petitions, whitehouse.gov. And for Obama to even look at this, we need 25,000 signatures by the 31st of this month. Currently, right now, I'm looking. There's 3268. Signatures on this petition, and so we need 21,000 more to go.
So what kind of response have you gotten from local, state, or federal lawmakers on this?
Not much. I've contacted a few. The response I usually get is it's not our problem. It's now a federal problem. They overlook it pretty much completely.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, when you're saying what others can do, people that come to our stores are so used to smoking these cigarettes. And many people, once they come in and they find out about this, they don't know. I have to tell them right then and there. And they're, you know, they get pretty upset. Then they go, well, I'm not giving my money to Philip Morris, to Altria.
Sure.
And so I'm going to buy this bag of tobacco. I'm going to buy these empty tubes, and I'm going to buy a hand rolling machine and do it at home.
Right.
So that really helps. I mean, and I'm surprised with the number of people that are actually doing that.
It's also a matter of going to your four locations and just if you smoke, don't smoke the big corporate, tobacco. Come in and learn the joys of rolling your own cigarettes.
Give it a shot.
I've actually heard nothing but good things from a lot of people. It's actually funny. We have one leader in the party who rolls his own cigarettes. And we went to a training event with a bunch of Republicans for American Majority. And so we're all, like all the goody-two-shoe Republicans are inside chatting with each other. And then all the misfit libertarians are out smoking. And then here he is rolling his own cigarette. And like they all look over like, what is he doing? Are they smoking pot out there? It's like,
the stereotypes.
I know. I love it. But... and I hear that it's better for you because the chemical
I've heard that
percentages that
times.
You gave are stunning.
Yeah. And it's the truth. And I mean, I have customer testimonies. Once they tell me, that they're mad about this, they go, well, I was smoking Marlboros for 20 years and I felt terrible. Mm-hmm. I couldn't walk up the stairs without, losing my breath at the top. They go, I've smoked these for 2 years and I feel great.
It's like health food.
Well, it's like people die from lung cancer now, but
it's like
if you look at two generations before me, they smoked tobacco, mm-hmm. rolled their own cigarettes, and they lived to be like 98 smoking.
Mm-hmm. You should do what Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth is marketing itself as a protein bar now, so maybe you should go.
Are they really?
Yes. go look at a Baby Ruth bar. It's 8 grams of protein. Like, it's going to make you healthy.
Perfect.
That's what you ought to do. You ought to market this as a health product.
Now, there's some pretty terrible stuff in big cigs.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what are some other things? What are some other things that you'd like to get out there as we sort of come to a close here?
This is a huge point. The fact that they're trying to say that we are manufacturers, they overlook the fact that a federal district judge deemed us as retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was years prior. It's funny, nothing really seems to matter what we do. They say, you have to be, you can't be a retailer. But a federal district judge says you are. You need to have a petition of signatures, and then we'll look at it. But no, No. Right. We've had it. Like I said, we had all these thousands of signatures. It meant nothing before this. Hmm. And we had no time. This all happened within 3 days. All these jobs were lost and all these small businesses went down within 3 days. And it's the government is just very short-sighted.
And I mean now, and now your employees are probably left with no choice. So they go and
they're trying to find jobs.
They find jobs, and if they can't, they go on unemployment.
And then
they draw on that for 2 years, and then you know it's I'm not going to sit there and give them a lecture about drawing public assistance, but at the same time, it's like well. The government created this mess, you know, but at the end of the day, we all end up paying for it.
Yes,
we end up paying for the public assistance programs because they put your employees out of business.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.